Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to Small Business Digest on Blog Talk Radio. Now entering its fifth year, this show is hosted by Don Mazzella, Editorial Director of Small Business Digest. Each week he brings you advice and information from experts and small business leaders like yourself. Each show is designed to provide one or two thought-provoking ideas from authors, experts, and small business leaders, just like most of the individuals who make up our audience. Whenever possible, Small Business Digest tests the products and services featured on the show to ensure they are of a quality to help listeners grow their small business. Guests do not pay to appear, but are chosen for their ability to provide ideas and suggestions to improve operations, expand marketing, reduce cost, enable better personnel management, and add profits. Remember, all of our shows are archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/smallbusinessdigest. You can hear this show and all others at your leisure. If you like what you hear, tell others about the program. If you have a question or suggestion, email us at editor@is-incorp.com. Should you want to join us on this program during our live hour each Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, dial 646-929-2337. That's editor@is-incorp.com or 646-929-2337. We're only as good as our guest and audience make us.
Well, I always liked that introduction, even though I didn't write it. And today we have one of the more interesting guests joining us. Andrew Landis is president and founder of Lucky DM, the first multi-tiered online-to-online marketing platform, which that's a mouthful, and he's going to explain about it because I've found it fascinating. Well, Andrew, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, as we ask all our guests first, tell us a little bit about yourself personally before we go into anything else.
Well, I'm pretty much an old dog. I'd say I started in my career in digital media back in 93 when I was fortunate enough to land a job with Sony Corporation in a very small emerging division of corporate called Sony New Technologies, and the mission of that department was to identify, incubate, and launch new businesses that touched digital media, that touched all the different operating divisions of Sony Corporation, including hardware, software. And ironically, my first job was to figure out what our digital media strategy was going to be when it came to online. What was Sony Online going to be? And those were the days before the internet. So we were exploring, you know, the proprietary networks. Back in those days, it was AOL, it was Prodigy, CompuServe, and of course, none of the operating companies could really agree on which platform that they could all be kind of happy with. And fortunately, Mark Andreessen came along and introduced the browser to us, and we became one of the first major conglomerates to embrace the internet with on Sony.com. And, you know, since then, you know, reaching an audience was not so difficult. Advertising was taboo back then, though, believe it or not. It's hard to imagine back a day when you weren't really supposed to advertise or market your product on a website. And today, you know, 20 years later, it's gone full circle with, you know, it's almost impossible to have any effective marketing. So it kind of like brings me to where I am today. You know, after an 8-year stint at Sony Corporation, doing all these different digital media initiatives, one involving Kodak to help launch digital cameras, I launched a startup called PhotoLinks, which was one of the very first photo sharing sites back in 98. I was very fortunate to be exited out of that. And my new baby here is called Lucky Diem, as you were so nicely to introduce it, is a kind of a reimagined local search platform that borrows heavily on many of the different principles I've learned over the years of what it's going to take to break through all the marketing clutter out there. As everyone knows that's probably listening to this show, you know, the average consumer is hit with, you know, thousands of different marketing and advertising messages a day, and as a, you know, just as a byproduct of that, we've become incredibly efficient with filtering out those messages unless they are very relevant to us, whether they are engaging or whether they are valuable. And you marry that with, okay, a wonderful idea of how to break through is give consumers 50% off on a product. The Daily Deal Groupon craze worked very effectively for consumers, got their attention, but it has done, you know, irreparable damage in the local business landscape, because when you give away so much margin, 50, 60, 70%, it's very hard to make a living off of that, not to mention what that does for your brand when you're giving away a product. So I got interested in the idea that, you know, consumers are never going to give up the attraction to a discount. It's part of our DNA. In fact, I think there are stats out there that anywhere between 60 to 70% of people won't even buy anything online unless there's some sort of discount attached to it. And I started thinking about that. It's like, okay, is there a more engaging way, a smarter way to offer consumers discounts, but really not give away as much as you need to, like a Daily Deal? Is there a way to kind of manipulate the consumer and change that perceived value of the incentive? And I ended up borrowing a derivative of, you know, behavioral economics called endowment effect, which is the theory that if you apply some time, effort, and care in ownership, you change the intrinsic value of that. Think of it as that coffee cup that you use in the morning every day that perhaps your son, your child gave to you. It has much greater meaning and value to you than the actual value that it was purchased for. So we're trying to do that and apply it to marketing in a very efficient, effective way. And we launched Lucky Diem in about, I would say, about 4 or 5 years ago. We're very fortunate to have landed some big companies, national brands like La Quinta Inn and Suites, where the company, the brand, sent out a email to their existing loyalty members that announced, hey, we're excited to tell you about a new promotion called Play and Stay, where you can instantly win free nights and loyalty points. And we had developed a slot machine, a virtual slot machine that customers, users online could spin to win those kind of incentives. And a funny thing started to happen. That group started to engage with it, start winning loyalty points. To make the endowment effect work, you might spin and win 25 points, and then you could double those points by answering a trivia question about La Quinta, and that was a fun way to learn more about the brand. And then you could increase those points further by sharing your reward with your friends online through social. And that's where the magic of the platform really took off, and at the end of 90 days, we actually added 5 new customer loyalty members to each existing one that engaged. And, you know, the industry had never seen any kind of result like that. And, you know, we kind of exceeded our benchmarks even after the first 30 days. The extra 60 days on the campaign were all gravy. And so we were jumping up and down, but then a very interesting thing started to happen. We started to get calls and emails from local businesses, small business owners, that had either played the game or had seen some news about us in the blogs and so forth, and they wanted to know how they could play and run a Lucky Diem campaign for their own business. And, you know, unfortunately, these campaigns were, you know, bespoke. They took a while to build. The business model was so forth that we would have to charge businesses, you know, six figures to make it work. So it was out of the reach of the average business. But as you can imagine, after turning down 100 pieces of business plus, I sat down with my team and said, hey, let's rethink this whole, you know, platform. Let's make it accessible. Let's make it scalable to any size business. And in doing so, we went out to as many small business owners as possible, and we started asking them, what are the key ingredients, barriers that would have to be knocked down in order for a new company to offer you a marketing platform? And we kept on hearing the same three things over and over and over again. It says, hey, Andrew, don't ask me to add any hardware to my systems. Hey, Andrew, don't ask me to add any software to my systems. And then the most important thing that we kept on hearing is like, hey, we're really struggling here with figuring out digital media and how it's the online marketing is working, because we can't track the dollars that we're spending online back into the till. There's no attribution. There's no connection between the dollars spent online with the dollars earned offline. And I said, okay, those are my marching orders. So over the course of the last 2 years, Don, what we've been doing over at Lucky Diem is building a local search platform that has removed time and money from the digital marketing equation. And that mouthful that you kind of opened up with from our press release announcing the launch of Lucky Diem Local is this variable component, which is really just a simple way of saying, hey, we have figured out how to package behavioral economics, mixed it in with gamification to ignite engagement, sustain engagement. You know, and I just wrote about this in a recent blog on our website, which can be found at info.luckydiem.com, about, you know, is Google, which was, you know, and you can cut me off anytime, Don, because I know this is a long monologue for the audience, but it's really interesting.
It's fascinating. You're doing a terrific job, Andrew. Please continue.
Okay, thanks. You know, Google was, when it first was introduced and AdWords was introduced, it was interesting. It was like almost the great equalizer. It was the leveler of the playing field. It's like now any business can be discovered online. And everyone was excited. But you know what? Funny thing happened. Supply and demand actually caught up to AdWords, to Google, and there was so much demand that supply, of course, became more expensive, essentially outpricing the effects and results of AdWords for the small business owner. Not only was price a problem, but the complexity of executing an AdWords campaign was very much out of the reach of most small business owners. Then on top of that, you look at, wow, there's still no attribution. I'm paying X amount for the click-through to my website, or maybe to find more information about my retail business, but I have no idea if that is actually generating any purchases. It still provided a big, big question mark of, wow, is this even going to be worth it? So what we are doing with Lucky Diem is, hey, let's give consumers the opportunity to do search. Let's give small businesses, the complete turnkey solution of search, promotion, gamified loyalty, and we're not going to charge you a dime unless we generate income for you. So we are able to track every single purchase, and take a commission off of those purchases. So now for the very first time, based on variable promotions, so you might, you know, offer someone 5%, 10%, 15% if you're a business owner. For the very first time, you will, through Lucky Diem, be able to calculate a true and actual ROI, which I think is pretty much a game changer. We are removing the time and cost from digital marketing. And we hope that this type of package, this type of offering, will help finally reset the playing field for small businesses to compete with the nationals once again.
Andrew, this is fascinating, but explain to me. I'm a local merchant, and basically your product is location-centered. I'm a local, and I think you opened up recently in, let's say, upper east side of New York. I'm a local merchant. I use your system to offer a discount for, I'm a dress shop for dresses. But how do you get people to search your site and then turn it into a sale for the store?
So there, it's a good question. It's always the chicken and the egg of, like, okay, how are you going to get discovered? We rely on a couple of different outreach strategies, marketing strategies. I don't know what you want to call it. A lot of it has to do with the putting the onus on the existing customer base of a merchant, of the dressmaker. And if they have a email list, if they have a customer list, use that. Because it's not about giving them a discount to an existing customer. It's leveraging that customer with a ongoing promotion loyalty platform to make sure, A, they continue to come back to you, but equally important, through the Lucky Diem platform, they're incentivized both intrinsically and extrinsically, which is, you know, these behavioral economics and gamification kind of buzzwords, to share it with their friends. So kind of intrinsically, they're like, oh, they will kind of like feel good about helping a small business or competing with their friends. But the intrinsic value, of course, is, wow, because I am sharing with my friends, I'm going to get the highest level of discount. So there are a lot of different strategies like that in place. There are going to be some really big strategic partnerships that we will be announcing over the next 30 to 90 days that place Lucky Diem in front of consumers, and some of those consumers will be in a captive audience and have incentive to pull out their phone, go to Lucky Diem, and instantly win some prizes. And if they don't win the prizes right away, well, they can earn the discounts and keep on continuing to engage with that venue and or those retailer sponsors that are part of that venue on an ongoing basis. Imagine going to, say, and this is not one of our announced partners, a sporting event game, go into the Garden in the city, and halftime, there's a chance to meet and greet one of the players after the game or before the next game, things like that. There are so many different opportunities that Lucky Diem can use that are win-win, both for the underlying venue, their sponsors, as well as our users.
Well, for instance, that's interesting. But for instance, that dress shop, do you combine that dress shop's list with, say, the shoe store down the street, so that the two are cross-marketing together as well, or do you keep them separate?
You know, think of it, I sometimes think of it as, imagine if Yelp had listings where you could click through on each and every one of them and earn discounts and prizes. That's what we're doing. That it's like, it's integrated gamification of discounts, prizes, as well as loyalty. So now that dress shop will also have a game-based loyalty program, so everyone can compete with one another. There is a really interesting parallel here to the old Foursquare, which consumers used to love, but it somewhat lost its, you know, its buzz, it's lost its favor, because it was beginning to frustrate more and more business owners, because the users of it were just checking into a business rather than coming in, buying a dress, or if they're at the bar, buying drinks, spending money. But they would come in, nonetheless, check in, and then become the mayor of that place and almost expect to be, you know, granted certain perks and privileges, free drinks, appetizers, meals. And the funny thing that happened is, like, some of the business owners started recognizing these kids, younger people, that said, you know what, you're adding absolutely no economic value to my business. And rather than being the mayor, I'd rather you just, you know, leave my establishment. What Lucky Diem is doing is taking the best of Foursquare, the competitive nature of our nature to compete with our friends on leaderboards and levels and points, and only rewarding those customers on their true engagement, which is the purchases of themselves as well as their friends. So now, for the first time, a small business owner can look at their leaderboard and the metrics and reporting behind that and say, wow, I didn't realize this one customer that doesn't come in here that often is really influential, and she's introduced me to five new customers that are spending a lot of money in my store.
Before we go any further, your website again and where people can get information?
The consumer-facing side of the website is luckydiem.com, and that's like carpe diem, D-I-E-M.com. And for more information, if you're a business owner, we encourage you to explore our, you know, our business-facing site, which is info.luckydiem.com. And on that website, you'll learn more about Lucky Diem. There's a really wonderful link in there that provides you with some really awesome resources as a business owner, and a lot of the competitive makeup of what's out there for you.
Now, you're in New York. Are you other places? Do you have plans to expand? What are your next steps?
So we're in beta right now in New York. We're learning a ton. And we plan to not expand to other markets until we have figured it out, how to scale, how to service our existing market, how to, you know, those familiar with the term UX, user experience, how to make that user experience so seamless. And we still have a lot of learning to go. So we will actually be, right now we are a web-based app, so you can go to luckydiem.com, start playing, but come, I would say, September, October, we're actually launching our native app, so you'll be able to play on your iPhone on a native format and Android following that. And we will, you know, it's hard to place a timetable on when we'll be in other markets, but the goal is, of course, is to follow in the footsteps of a Yelp and be in, you know, 10 markets by in a year and, you know, double that the following year and 100 markets. After that, ironically, you know, sometimes you put the cart in front of the horse, and we're already in discussions with some foreign territories, some countries outside of the United States to run this reinvented local search for those type of companies that are doing local search there or have yellow pages and then are trying to figure out how to move into the digital space.
I've been remiss. We've been talking with Andrew Landis. He's president and founder of Lucky Diem, a fascinating attempt to help small business. We want to invite him back in September and hold him to some sort of a schedule, because we think it's going to be a fascinating and very profitable effort for a small business. And Andrew, we really thank you for joining us today.
Well,
and
Tom,
I hope
you
will
come
back.
I absolutely will. This is, you know, I like talking about the business, and you know, my greatest dream is to be able to help all these local businesses compete against the big boys. They need it. They need the help. They need to focus on their business and stop worrying so much about digital marketing. As well as, and I know we're probably out of time, is, you know, a portion of our profits go to a wonderful charity called Hope and Heroes right here in New York, which is the does childhood cancer research. So it's a true win-win. We're helping local businesses. We're helping with against the fight with childhood cancer. So, again, thanks a lot for having me on your show. I look forward to returning.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for being here and providing such a fascinating look at a brand new product for small business. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
Our next guest, I'm going to ask to introduce himself, because we're talking about the National Vision Month. And welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
I'm Dr. David Gibson. I work with 2020 Onsite. We are a company that provides mobile eye exams. We have a clinic that goes to schools and also to Fortune 500 companies, and we actually do eye exams on site.
Well, we're on this program because it's National Vision Month, and I think you can help us help our audience. As you know, a majority of our audience are owners and presidents of small businesses. So can you give us some ideas on how business leaders can help the vision of their employees?
Certainly. One of the biggest problems with computer use in the office place is lighting. A lot of times businesses are using really bright fluorescent lights, and the bright lights really just cause a lot of strain and just are very uncomfortable. And even the fluorescent lighting itself is very uncomfortable. It's not a great visible light to use, and it also produces blue light, which a lot of research and studies have shown that excessive blue light exposure increases your risk of macular degeneration. So being able to reduce the type of lighting or changing the type of lighting that you have in the office helps tremendously. Having floor lamps with incandescent lighting, allowing windows to be open to allow some natural lighting in, makes a huge difference in just being able to be more productive and being able to work more comfortably on a computer.
Well, those are all good ideas, but I guess I know myself, my bad my reduced eyesight kind of sneaked up on me as I got older. And when I was younger, I thought I had very good eyesight. And now, if I don't put my glasses on, I'm blind as a bat. But what are some of the warning signs that individuals, forget who they are, individuals should keep in mind as they move a little bit older in their life cycle?
It's going to be blurred vision, especially up close. Sometimes people will have double vision because they just can't focus like they could previously. Headaches, eye irritation. And one of the big things, even with people who are younger and who are progressing through life, is night vision problems. A lot of people I see can't see at night as well as they used to, and a lot of it has to do with just strain from not being able to read as well.
Well, that's true. I remember as a young man, we were once at dinner with a group of older people, and we put up the lights, and everybody said, now we can see.
Yeah, lighting is very important when you, yes, exactly. That is another thing. And I have that same problem. lighting is definitely my best friend anymore because what happens is the better the light you have, the smaller your pupil, the better you can focus. So yeah, dim lighting as we get older is definitely not a good thing. You're just straining your eyes and it's not any friend. Turn up the light. Yeah.
Well, tell us about your company and what it does and how it does it.
Well, basically, it's a company that started in Boston 3 years ago, and we expanded here in Atlanta, where I am, a little over a year, and now we're also in Chicago. And basically, as I said, we go to Fortune 500 companies, smaller companies, and we provide eye care on site. I will do a comprehensive eye exam. We are looking at the health of your eye. We're checking the pressures of your eyes for glaucoma. We're also reading any eyewear that you bring in so that we can compare to see if there have been any changes. So we do the comprehensive eye exam, check your prescription, check the health of your eye. We also have a complete dispensary where we have over 400 frames on each mobile vision clinic where a patient can select glasses. We will fit those glasses to their face, send them to our lab, and then we ship the frames directly to the patient. We're also able to do contact lenses. So if you're a contact lens wearer, we can update your contact lens prescription. You can order contact lenses, and then we can ship those directly to you as well.
Does the company retain you as a perk for its employees, and it pays the freight?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Who pays you for these services? The company?
The company. It depends. I don't know the exact breakdown, but we have different levels as far as the service, but we work with the patient's insurance. So we will bill insurance. So the patient is only responsible for their copay at the time of service. As far as with the actual client company, we have different levels depending on what type of service they want. There are some fees that the company would pay. Others, there's no fee whatsoever, but the benefits vary. And again, I don't really have that information, but it just depends.
Well, you're refreshing. Someone who knows more about the subject than the company in the sense of offering. So,
right.
So I'm a diabetic, as unfortunately many people in America today, and it's growing. And one of the biggest byproducts of diabetes is loss of vision, et cetera. What do you have as suggestions for individuals with diabetes, et cetera?
For their eyes, yearly eye exams
for their
with
eye.
Dilation. Yeah, yearly mm-hmm. eye exams. With dilation, because with diabetes, two of the biggest things that are going to cause you to have diabetic changes inside of your eyes are length of time of being diagnosed and blood sugar control. And so if we can catch things earlier, we can treat them earlier and prevent your vision from getting worse. Because unfortunately with diabetic changes, once they're there, they're there. They will not resolve on their own. And so the earlier we can catch those changes, the sooner we can do something about it. But the other thing is exercise, diet control, and blood sugar control.
Yes, all three.
Very difficult to do with diabetes. It's definitely a life change. And so you definitely, those are the things you have to do.
Well, not if you have a wife like mine who makes sure you do all three.
Has the whip behind you to do everything. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. You know, I was interviewed for a program on the subject, and at the end of the time, the host said, "What are the three things you need?" And I said, "The number one factor is someone who works with you." But
exactly.
But now, are there anything else that you can suggest to our since it is National Vision Month, and I'm really happy you're on the program. Is there anything else you can suggest to our audience that they should be doing to protect their eyes?
Protect their eyes. Definitely, you want to have some type of sunglasses that protect you from UV lighting. The eye itself does a really good job of blocking UV light, but unfortunately, the downside to that is you develop cataracts more severely and earlier in life. So having sunglasses on your eyes to help with that UV blocking is great in keeping cataracts from forming earlier and being as severe. It also keeps you, also your cancer, eye cancer risk lower. UV light is very bad with that formation. So that's one thing. And basically getting back to people in businesses working on computers, give your eyes some frequent breaks. There's a 20-20-20 rule. Every 20 minutes, look 20 feet away for 20 seconds. And those are the two big things that I would give.
Wow, that's really interesting. would you mind repeating that one? I have not heard that one. I'm sorry, and probably our audience has, but would you mind repeating it?
Sure, it's 20-20-20. Every 20 minutes, look 20 feet away for 20 seconds. That way, the muscles inside of your eyes that are working hard for you to focus are going to relax and give them a little bit of a break.
Your website again, your company, and where people can reach you?
Sure. It's 2020 Onsite, and the website is going to be 2020 Onsite, onsite.com.
And if they want to talk to you for any reason, can they, or do they have to?
They
go
can contact.
The
they can contact through the website. Correct, through the website.
Okay, you've been a really terrific guest, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I just feel you did us a real service coming on and talking about this today. Because it is important, and
very important.
Thank you again.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Have a good day. Remember, it's National Vision Month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with other guests invited to help you, our audience, improve operations, expand marketing, reduce cost, enable better personnel management, and add profits. Remember, all of our shows are archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/smallbusinessdigest. You can hear this show and all others at your leisure. If you like the show, tell others about it. Want to make a comment or be a guest? Email us at editor@is-incorp.com. Your host was Don Mazzella, Editorial Director of Small Business Digest. Until next time, keep faith with the ideals that made America great, and remember, small business is still the backbone of commerce.